to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Today, we're talking about planning with Jared Hall, the planning director for the Klamath Tribes. Jared's been with the tribes for 5 years, born in Chiloquin. The local boy comes back to build homes and other things. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're busy. Very, very busy. Probably the most busy person in the tribes.
Very busy. Me and my staff have been super inundated with a lot of different projects. Definitely been ramped up ever since the COVID-19 pandemic.
You said you've been here for 5 years when we were talking before the recording here. Have you been the planning director the entire 5 years? What was the growth pattern at the tribes?
Growth pattern's been a little unorthodox. I did start out after college. I had a short stint in the corporate world and worked for the planning department for about 4 years for the small business management department in the planning department. But I got a lot of exposure working with the other planning staff with projects, land acquisition, fee to trust, different types of projects. So got an early experience at a young age right out of college. Obviously for a variety of reasons, moved away, for other opportunities, came back, had a stint with the Klamoya Casino Corporation. Then I moved on to Tribal Health, they're launching some new programs and worked for them for about a year. And then the economic development director position came open and, I ended up applying and getting that just because I had some background working in the planning department. Obviously, I knew quite a bit about what our businesses were currently needing at the time. So threw my hat in the ring. I did that for 5 years, and then the planning director job came open. Really had a passion for wanting to get back into getting the tribe going with land acquisition and obviously working in that capacity to try to situate tribal land development. And so it was a good fit, had good experience, and it was a good match. So that's how I ended up as the planning director.
And what year did you take over?
2019.
So 5 years. You had a little lull there with the pandemic, and then now it's like a hurricane coming out with funding and projects. It all starts with the money, though, right? Without the money, you can't build the projects.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The COVID-19 pandemic, when the CARES funding first came in, it came in, you know, it was like drinking water from a fire hose. It came in so fast, and there's so much and so many different ideas, so many different needs. But then there was a bunch of unknowns. You know, I think it was a real uncertain time, so I think we did the best we could as all of our organizations were having lots of team meetings, lots of brainstorming. I think the biggest thing with the CARES is the deadlines, the statutory deadlines per the legislation were so short-lived. And when the money actually came in, the time we had to plan something substantive just wasn't there. And it was very, very difficult that first round. And obviously when the second round of FRF monies came in, the ARPA funds, I think we were a little bit better prepared and obviously had some things in the works and had some lessons learned. And there was a little bit more flexibility in what we could do as far as projects and justifying construction. So I think we got off to a better start with the ARPA funds, but there were still quite a bit of unknowns. And obviously just planning a project, it's a lot of time consuming, a lot of hurry up and wait, a lot of paper pushing, a lot of meetings, a lot of going back and forth to the drawing board before people actually see the equipment on the ground and boots on the ground and the projects being developed.
Right across the street, we've got a project going on here in downtown Chiloquin. That's nice to see because Chiloquin could use some infusion of new buildings and housing. What exactly is going on across the street from us here?
Yeah, that one was obviously with the ARPA legislation. I think with the whole COVID-19 pandemic and responding to it, I think a big issue was housing. It's not just a tribal problem. It's a community-wide, worldwide, national-wide problem. And We were able to get some funding earmarked from the tribal council to start some housing projects. And you got to remember, you know, 2 or 3 years ago when we started to put these applications together, we didn't have a housing director at the time. So we were kind of just managing the housing department as, you know, by committee, you know, between admin staff. Planning was helping out quite a bit. And we decided to start planning for some projects. And so planning was putting together some assessments of available land. I know through consultation on justifying the use of those funds for construction, a capital expense, you had to go through an evaluation process to determine. You couldn't just go buy more land and justify it. You had to evaluate what our current land holdings were and what the build, you know, how well ready there were to build. So we put together a preliminary assessment of a lot of different tribal lands that we had that were currently, that there was no future use for it or no planned development, and kind of assessed them with our engineering consultants that were awarded the ARPA contract, and found some tribal lots here in Chiloquin that definitely were suited for developing multifamily housing units. And that's what's going on across the street. We have the Yahooskin lot and the Judah Jim lot. Right here in this corner of town where we have a lot of tribal property and a lot of different tribal operations. Obviously the planning operations right there, the housing maintenance operation. We have the Muckluck Center, and we already have some multifamily units that exist within this area of town. So it was a good fit to add to the cluster. There's going to be some multifamily units coming to this end of town, and the Yahooskin lot will be for the elders. It's a triplex, single level.
That's the one across the street.
That's the one across the street.
Triplex,
yep. That's the one. They just poured the foundation yesterday, so a lot of our framing walls and trusses are going to be delivered next week, and the community should start being able to see the structure go up in the coming weeks. Judah Jim's not too far behind. They're getting the site ready. Footers will be poured, and then the remaining foundation will be poured at a later time, and that should be going up fairly quick too.
Where is that located?
That one would be just across the street from the Yahooskin, just one more street over, behind the housing maintenance building where it currently stands. So it's right in the entryway of Chiloquin over here on the east side. So that'll be a fourplex. Two-story. So
if you have a triplex, does that mean three apartments, or how does that break down?
There'll be three different units, housing units, single-level housing units in the triplex.
How many square feet for the apartments themselves?
Those are about 1,000 a piece, so a total of 3,000.
And elders housing?
Yes, it'll be. They're going to be more suited for the elders.
Independent living?
That could be open for discussion. I imagine it's independent living at this point in time, but anything's possible.
So we have a total then of 7 apartments that will be in downtown Chiloquin for elders.
I don't know about the fourplex. I think that was going to be designed more for families, quite a bit more square footage. They're actually pretty large townhouses.
Oh, townhouses.
Yeah, so they'll be 2 split level. So I believe those will be more around the range of 1,700 square feet apiece. So,
well, I would think there's going to be a competitive application process here. A lot of people are going to want these.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. The housing list. Obviously, people have been hearing for the last 5 years. It's there's a pretty big waiting list. So I think there's going to be a need that'll be filled as best as possible. And I know the housing director is working really hard on multiple other projects as well to try to address that need. And it's a tough one. It's a tough job. Tough problem. But I imagine that those will fill up rather quickly.
Do you have to put them on the market at a competitive price, or are they for affordable housing?
I believe with HUD dollars, from what I've learned from the past director and the current director, is it's going to be there's certain income criteria and things that go in the application process for units like that are going to be operated with HUD dollars.
Who oversees the process?
It'll be housing. Yeah, we're planning's just doing this because we were pretty much 80% complete with the planning process when the new housing director came on board. So we just decided, since there's so many other projects that need attention, we would just get these built, and then our plan's to hand the keys over, and it's going to be their programs, houses to manage from there on out. We'll step away.
Kenneth Ruthart is the new housing director. He's got a full plate. Like,
yes,
to get him
does.
To talk about some of the projects, like Melita's. You're also building that?
Nope. That's a planning helped with the grant. We helped Park Resources apply for the grant, and obviously did all the consultations and the meetings with the OCF to get that grant and put together the preliminary rehab budget for that. But we were so swamped with other projects. By the time Kenneth came on, it was kind of a pretty easy handoff. We handed that project off to Kenneth, and he took it from there, and he's managing the development of the Melita's property.
Which, if the listeners out there aren't aware of what the Melita's is, it was a former restaurant hotel on Highway 97, just down the street from the administration building here in Chiloquin for the Klamath Tribes. And it's going to be elderly transitional housing, or is that, well, I don't know if it's transitional. It's elderly housing apartments.
Yeah, I think when we wrote the grant application, it just basically had to be generalized as emergency housing. So it has to be used for whatever, you know. I think we classified a bunch of different groups that could possibly use that those housing units once it's remodeled. So it's pretty flexible from that, just as long as it's used for housing and to address the housing crisis. So I thought I heard the general manager speak to that tone, that it was going to be used for elders once it's developed.
And the restaurant will be nixed. They were going to build a restaurant. We found out in our director's meeting yesterday that it would be an office for housing now, which will also mean people are on site that can be directly there for the elders if they need to have any assistance, and a little more secured feeling there.
Which
is good.
Yeah, that's good. I was new. I didn't hear, you know, I didn't know any of that, but yet listening to the director's meeting yesterday, that's what was announced. So that is, that was interesting. So that, sounds like they're on their way to developing a full wraparound housing service at that site.
What other projects do you have on the radar that you'd like to talk about?
We're working closely with the tribal court staff. They were the first ARPA project to break ground last summer, and they're pretty, you know, a lot of progress has been made there. But it's a renovation, a remodel of an existing building. So there's obviously, with projects like that, there was a lot of challenges, a couple hiccups here and there. But we are hoping we are going to do a time extension on that contract. And we're hoping to have them in sometime in June, our new timeline, to get the tribal court staff. So that one's the closest one to completion. And we just got the plan sets reviewed and approved by our engineering consultants this week on the aquatics research building. And so that one, we're hoping to, as soon as we get through the building permit, we're going to probably break ground on that one in the next month or so. And so that'll be a new ARPA project alongside the two multifamily units here in Chiloquin. So there'll be four active projects as far as ARPA is concerned that planning's involved with.
A lot of projects means a lot of people need to be hired, and that's always been a challenge as well.
Yeah, I think that's why that's a big catalyst for some of these projects is some of the programs have grown exponentially hiring staff, and they're still waiting to hire some more staff. And I know in aquatics, I think aquatics already has staff hired, and they need offices for them to go to. So we're going to try to catch that project up as fast as possible and get some things. We do have some demo work done, so they kind of got a leg up on demo. So hopefully we can get into the structural rebuild of that building rather quickly, and it won't be as we won't have to waste any months with demo. Just because we started them last year on some of the demolition, because you don't need permits for the demo side of a renovation.
Where exactly is this aquaculture center being built?
So heading east out of town, right here where all the projects are going on, just right outside this building, you head east on Sprigg River Highway, and they're not more than 3 or 4 miles down the road along the river there. We have, I don't know, at the check, 50, 60 acres right in that little pocket. And
I didn't know we had that kind of acreage there, right on the river.
Is
that next to the ponds?
Yep, that is the Aquatics Research Center is where the pond, you see the pond operations. They own, there's land that we own on both sides of the highway. And so their headquarters are back up to the left, due north of the highway. So we purchased a property adjacent to their current research station that's been there for years. And there was an old 2,400 square foot house that was there, and we're remodeling that and repurposing it for commercial office space. So that's what we've been working on with ARPA funding.
Then there's that little church we were told was donated years ago, the Williamson River Church. So you legally solidified that recently, and now what are we going to do with it?
I don't think too much discussion's been in that regard. I mean, our department's been inundated with just trying to get the title cleaned and get it recorded correctly.
It was in our possession. It just had to legally be cleaned up.
Yeah, it was at fee simple status, so it wasn't ready to be transferred to trust because there was some deed discrepancies, some legal description discrepancies that took some time to unravel and then put back together. And obviously, we got through it. Took a little bit longer than we thought, but it was 5 years to get that situated. And so I think from what I've heard from the tribal leadership is at some point we will take a look at that. But I think with everything going on, with how many projects all over the tribe with multiple departments, it's kind of one of those things that'll probably get looked at in the future.
There's an interesting backstory to the Williamson River Church, which is on Modoc Point Road, right? That's the road it's on. And am I correct there? I always get that 36 and Modoc Point Road always throw me off for the locations of things. But I visited it. It's actually still looks like a church that could be operating when you walk inside.
Yeah, the cathedral part is still kind of intact. It's the additional common space area that they look like an add-on that really needs some work. So we haven't put much dollars into actually having professionals come out and assess it. We had one engineering team, I think during the CARES funding era, come do a quick glance of that building, and but I don't think it made the priority list at that point in time. But I think that would probably be the something that'll have to be discussed in the future is get some engineering staff out there to take a look at the building and really give it a true assessment of what type of current condition it's in, and then build from there what the possibilities could be of getting it back to its original state.
What could the possibilities be? I assume more housing.
You know, there. Yeah.
Nice little location. It's got a nice uphill raised area.
Yeah, I feel like with any of our tribal land holdings, that should be the first evaluation criteria right now is can we build houses on this one? And I mean, anything's possible. So it is an isolated piece. You know, it's a couple acres out kind of away from some of our other land holdings. But it is in our possession, and it could be used for that purpose.
The backstory on it's kind of interesting. It goes back to when did they donate that originally, and who was it? Do you have that?
2012 is when it was donated to the tribe by the Williamson River Methodist Church.
That was nice of them.
Yeah, super nice. Yeah, we always are appreciative of land donations to that extent.
Why did they choose the Klamath tribes? What was their connection?
You know, I don't. The file was pretty bare. There really wasn't too big of a file on this when I took over as planning director. So I don't know the backstory of why it was, but I do know. I grew up in that area around there. I think a lot of tribal members use that church for a variety of purposes. So there probably was always a relationship with whoever was running the church throughout the years, and I'm sure they took the time to learn the history of that area and the deep connection that the tribe had to the land. And they probably just thought it was the right thing to do to get that back into the tribal hands.
So with all these construction projects, you also do maintenance and infrastructure work. It goes beyond just buildings. You have some infrastructure that you're involved in as well.
Yeah, my transportation program, obviously, me and the transportation manager, Les Anderson, took on a pretty big, it was a vision that the planning department had a long time ago, and it kind of came to fruition a couple years ago during even all this COVID-19 pandemic. We saw an opportunity to expand our transportation program into the road maintenance side, and a lot of it was because of bidding out our projects every year. We were having a tough time getting responses from contractors that wanted to come out into this region and work on the variety of road projects that we were planning. So in our agreement, our annual funding agreement or our reference funding agreement, we're allowed to force account our own projects. And so we thought a good phase would be to get into the road maintenance side. And so we did capitalize on purchasing some heavy equipment and some supporting infrastructure equipment with that. And we kicked that off last year, and they did quite a bit of work with the crew. And we're looking to expand even more this year. The tough part for this year is that, like, we're starting to realize after the first year we need some additional equipment, some more specialized equipment to do some of the things that we would like to do with the roads. And so that's kind of what we're working on right now. We're working on a new equipment acquisition list that we have to take through a pretty prescriptive process with the BIA to get that approved. And then obviously we'll have to go through our own tribal administration procurement process. So it takes some time to get that equipment, but we have the funding. We have the funding available to do it. And then aside from that, we've been planning a couple pretty big projects in this area. Problem being is, since we're a checkerboarded reservation and we don't have clear jurisdiction over some of these roadways, we have to go through the public right-of-way approval. And a couple of these projects happen to be within the public right-of-way that's governed by the Oregon Department of Transportation. So we've had a couple challenges getting the proper permits to complete the projects we want to do. But we've re-pivoted with our engineering consultants, redesigned some of the road infrastructure, and we're hoping to move forward. We actually have our engineers coming next week, and we're hoping to get some of the portions or some of the phases done in the next couple years. So there'll be a pretty big multi-million-dollar road project, hopefully getting planned out and constructed in the next couple years, and that'll be over by the casino property. So we're meeting with some of the casino management and talking to their board of directors, and obviously trying to get everything situated for that project.
The Klamath Tribes Klamoya Casino we're referring to. Also, we have a little project here in Chiloquin. You and I talked about it a few months ago when I wrote a press release for it, about the sidewalks being produced in Chiloquin from downtown up to the administration building. And possibly a bike path, I think, or multi-use path?
Yeah, that one is kind of a multi-agency project. The city of Chiloquin, the Oregon Department of Transportation, and the Tribal Transportation Program. I know Les Anderson attended a lot of the meetings scoping that project out. But there was some ODOT brought to the attention of the group that there was some community development grants that were going to be coming available, and ODOT obviously was on the project team, and they geared up some projects that were kind of identified in 2000. It was before my time as planning director, but our transportation program participated in a bi-pedestrian crosswalk plan, and this assessment was done several years ago, and it was good base documentation to go after future grants because they identified there was a need to build additional pedestrian infrastructure in the city of Chiloquin for safety reasons.
Which would mean sidewalks?
Sidewalks, yeah. Sidewalks, crosswalks, bike paths, that's what they're doing. So that's what they were awarded. We were notified last November, I believe, by ODOT. They told us they got the grant. It was I believe they're getting close to $15 million to do that project. Now, we've only had one scoping meeting with all the agencies, and it's a pretty... what they described to us was there's a pretty thorough planning process that has to be done. And it could be up to 2 to 3 years before we see actual construction of it go in. So there's a lot of things they got to work through with the grant. Just kind of one of the challenges of getting grants, it's kind of one of those things where you have to do things pretty thoroughly when you get that large of a grant. So that's what they're, that's what we'll be a part of. I don't know what our level of involvement is. We just wanted to make sure we were on the committee so we could express the interests of the tribes, because we own multiple properties within the urban growth boundary of the city of Chiloquin. So we wanted to make sure our voices were being heard on where the dollars will be implemented and where the infrastructure will be located. So I think that's kind of what we're planning on doing. And I think Les in the transportation program, his responsibilities there, he'll be involved with that quite a bit once it gets more traction.
Spring and summer is coming. Spring's here. Summer's right around the corner. Peak building time.
Yep.
Due to the extreme weather we have here in the winter. So you must be looking for crews and construction workers. Do you have an application process? And how many people do you need?
So for the ARPA projects, it was awarded to diversified contractors. I think construction in general is in need of crews. I believe they got enough staff to do what's needed to be done. But no, we don't have, for us and our road maintenance crew, we would probably, for those type of projects, if we get our equipment, we'll be looking to hire a few more people. And if we get some of these permits for some of these road projects, we would be looking for a few operators, and then laborers as well, seasonal laborers. But we got to get the plans and the project permits approved first on that. But the ARPA is kind of that's kind of done by the diversified contractors. We do have quite a few tribal members working for them on multiple locations. If you wanted, I think any contractor that just speaks, and if there is a tribal member who wants to work in the trades, now's the best time I've seen in 20 years to get into the trades. And any contractor would be glad to take a tribal member that wanted to pursue a career in that.
And I know Klamath Community College has training for that.
They do. And I believe education and employment's helping tribal members with some of the schooling costs to get into some of those trade programs. So I highly, if you're out there and you're interested in something like that, I highly encourage you to get into it. It's really good pay. Obviously some of the contractors have some well paid positions open, or a need for some well paid positions. So something to do that I think anybody can be trained up to do.
Excellent. Jared Hall, the guest today on Klamath Tribes Podcast, the planning director for the Klamath Tribes. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.